We had a really interesting thing happen a couple of months ago at the home. It was very funny. my son Gabriel, his language has just been developing like crazy. It's just been really, we're just so thankful to the Lord. But sometimes you just can't understand what he's saying, you know, and it's just kind of like, and you want to encourage him, and you want to just kind of, you know, give him what he's asking for, right? But it's wonderful because my son Jonathan's got kind of like the gift of interpretation. And it's very funny. There's so many times where Gabriel will say something, and we're like, oh, what? And Jonathan, what is he saying? He's always asking to go watch, you know, Toy Story. Oh, okay, sure, go watch. So it's been an ongoing, evolving kind of a thing. Well, one day my wife is telling me, Gabriel came over to her, and he said, you know, saying something to Laura, and Laura's saying, what? And he's repeating it, and what? And saying it again, Gabriel, what? And she just wasn't understanding what he was saying. And so Gabriel got this real frustrated look on his face and went running over to Jonathan and said, Johnny, what am I saying? And he proceeded to interpret it very quickly. And, you know, it just was another great episode in the Balsamo home. As we continue through the book of Hebrews, I, in the same way as my son, go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what am I saying? So that the Holy Spirit can make these truths that we've been looking at week after week penetrate beyond your minds and just find a place in your hearts so that it can get displayed in the course of life where it really matters, right? Because truth that can't get practiced in life really doesn't do us any good, does it? And what the author of Hebrews has been doing is just really been highlighting the person of Jesus Christ and the wonderful extent that God went to so that we can have relationship with him. If we were to boil it all down and get through all the hard things to understand, the reality of it is it's a very simple message. Sometimes we take the gospel message and we make it so complicated that you don't understand it. And here's the deal. The gospel message is very simple. God loves you and has a plan for your life. And he sent his only begotten son because we are not capable of having a relationship with God based on our own works. And so God became man in the person of Jesus Christ and provided a way for us to have relationship with him. The message of the cross is very simple. Last week, we began looking at chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, let's go there. We're gonna pick up where we left off. And I talked to you about the fact that Jesus paved the way for us. And we looked at two ways in which Jesus paved the way. He paved the way that so that we can have access to the Father. Right? There was no way that we can get there. And so Jesus literally paved the way for us so that we might have access to the Father. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he secured for us the opportunity to come to the Father by fulfilling the law, by being our sacrifice for sin and presenting his precious blood as a payment for your sin and for mine. He literally paved the way so that you and I can come to the throne of grace and be in the presence of God and ultimately to have relationship with him. So Jesus paved the way for us so we might have access to God. And secondly, Jesus paved the way for us so that we can obey God, is what we looked at last week. And he did that by first being obedient to the Father. And it was Christ's obedience to the Father which has freed us from the bondage and the power of sin so that we too can walk in obedience to the Father. You see, as we put our trust in him, as we put our dependence on what Christ has done for us, we become changed. We're not the same person anymore, as we looked at last week, right? If you were an addict over here and you put your trust in Christ, you're no longer an addict. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And so there's literally a change that takes place in the life of the person who will put their trust in Christ. Now, not everybody else will give you that clean slate, right? But God does. God does. And that which held you in the past has been freed up for you in Jesus Christ. Jesus obeyed the Father, and it paved the way for us likewise to be obedient to the Father. Listen, Jesus did nothing on the earth by his own power, we looked at. But he always did it by the power and of the will of the Father. Why? Because he was our perfect example. At no point did Jesus lay aside his deity, but he chose not to exercise that deity, as we looked at last week. Listen, if Jesus exercised 1 ounce of deity while on the earth, he could have never been our example. He could have, again, at no point did he lay aside his deity, but he chose not to exercise that deity so that you and I can see him as our example. And he paved the way for us to be obedient as well. That's why Paul called him in 1 Corinthians the second Adam. The first Adam represented us, right? And he really didn't do a very good job. As he disobeyed God and he ate of the tree that was forbidden for him and Eve to eat. But Christ, Paul says, is our second Adam. And look, he didn't eat of the tree, but instead he went to the tree. And that so that we who would eat of that tree might have life, access to God, and be able to obey God and please him and enjoy the relationship that he desires for us to have with us. Jesus paved the way for us. And that's what we talked about last week. And if you weren't here, I'd encourage you to get the CD. But Jesus paved the way for us. This morning as we pick up, we're going to pick up where we left off in our text. And we see that the author of Hebrews, as I said, has presented the incredible means by which Christ paved the way for us. He presented not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own precious blood. But see, the author doesn't want us to keep that as just good information. In verses 1 through 18, he has given us a clear understanding of what Christ has done for us intellectually, in a sense. But now what he's calling us to do is to do something about it. He doesn't want us to stay in our minds as just information, but he's calling us now to respond to those words. Verses 1 through 18 of Hebrews chapter 10 is the what. It's the content. Verses 8 and 19 through 23 is the so what. Here's what we do with the information that we've just begun. And what we see for us is that Jesus has paved the way for us. And what the author says is, now that we know he's paved the way for us, that's the what. Here's the so what. He calls us to draw near to God. Draw near to God. The title of my sermon this morning is Drawing Near to Christ. Drawing near to Christ. And we pick up in our text in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, here it is, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What we see in these five verses of Scripture really defines for us the motivation and the goal of not only the author, obviously, but of the Holy Spirit who put into the mind of the author of Hebrews what God wanted for us to hear. We see something very clearly laid out. In fact, if we were really to break down all of this text in our letter, if we were to break down the whole message of the book of Hebrews, which is really, we'd see that it's really the essence of the gospel. What he's saying here in this verse, it's an appeal to the very heart of the gospel. if we were to pull away from this text all of the defining verbiage and the qualifying phrases and the clauses, we would see that there's really ultimately one command in all of the book of Hebrews that the writer wants us to get a hold of, and it is this: draw near to God. He goes to great lengths in this book to explain why we can draw near to God. He goes to great lengths in this book to demonstrate how Christ was the fulfillment of that old system. And he makes all the connections and draws and connects the dots for us so we can understand how Christ fulfilled the law. But in the end of the day, the bottom line of the message of the book of Hebrews, and in fact the entire gospel, it is this: draw near to God. It's a simple message. It's a simple appeal. It's the essence of the gospel, that creation would be reunited with Creator. That's the whole plan. That's what the old systems in the Old Testament pointed to. A time where we can freely come into the presence of God, something that man was unable to do under the old system, but now we can do in the person of Jesus Christ. What man was separated from God. He was not experiencing the dynamic of relationship that God had intended, and that's why Christ came. The old system with its barriers and restrictions gave a visual in the physical of what was a reality in the spiritual. I mean, if we would look at the whole sacrificial system and the priesthood and the symbols and all that the scriptures lay out for us in the Old Testament, what it clearly communicates to us is that there's a barrier between man and God. And all that the old system pointed to was a day that was going to come where someone was going to step out of time, out of eternity and into time, and fulfill the law and break that barrier in the person of himself. You see, man couldn't approach God. So God came in the person of Jesus Christ. John talks about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Greek word, tabernacled. It's what the presence of God is contained in. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was not to establish a religion, but a relationship where man and woman can embrace their ultimate purpose in life. That's what Christ gives us. He gives us purpose. He gives us meaning for living, reason for living. It's the cause of so much dysfunction today. It's the cause of such depression and disillusionment in our society today. Man and women lack purpose. That feeling of assurance, of knowing that they are doing that which they were created for. One theologian said that it's like every man is born with this God-shaped hole in his heart that only God can fill. And what we do, what man does today, is they try to fill that thing with everything they can think of. Relationships, sex, money, toys, whatever it might be. And they try to, like a square peg in a round hole, it does not fit. It might appeal for a moment, right? The writer of Solomon, the writer of Proverbs says that sin is pleasurable for a season. But in the end, it reaps death. It doesn't satisfy. I remember being a young teenager and trying to fill that gap with something outside of God. And I remember standing, I was at a party with all of my friends, and it was a really good time, and I was stoned out of my mind. And I remember pulling out of that room and going into the bathroom and looking at this blood, you know, this blood red-eyed face looking back at me. And I remember looking at myself and saying, "You're not happy. You're going to serve God one day. This doesn't, outside I was the life of the party. But it didn't satisfy in the core of my soul. Why? Because I wasn't tapping into what God has created me to be. God created me so that I might have relationship with him, that I might feel that sense of purpose of being, so that that this creation can love on and receive the love of the creator of the universe. That's where true joy is. That's where true contentment is. It is only found in Jesus Christ. That's not religiosity. That's not extremism. That's not fanatical. That's Christianity. That's what Jesus calls us to. It is a great exchange. My life for his. Listen, you were created on purpose, and you were created for and with a purpose. If you're here this morning, I don't care what anybody ever told you, you were not an accident. I don't care if your parents told you that, your teachers told you that, your siblings told you that. I don't care what anybody, you are not an accident. You were created on purpose, and you were created with a purpose, and that purpose will only be found in that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Amen. And all that the author of Hebrews has been pointing to up until this point was to get us to understand the amazing feats that Jesus went through, the fulfillment of all of the laws, the surrendering of his will and the embracing of his Father's will all took place so that you and I can draw near to Christ, so that we can have access to the presence of God. He has one simple, deep, intentional, consistent call to his readers as well as to you and I today, and it is this: draw near to God. Draw near to God. Oftentimes in this epistle will the author call us to draw near to God. It is a reoccurring theme in his mind, and certainly is the motivation of his heart and ultimately of the Holy Spirit who inspired the author. We see this idea of drawing near to Christ. He uses that exact terminology 7 times in this epistle. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find peace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly, let us come with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace. Hebrews 7 and verse 19, he says that the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced so that we may draw near to God. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole thing is all about, so that we might draw near to God. Hebrews 7 verse 25, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us." We're called and enabled to draw near to God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." It is a theme all throughout this epistle, and indeed a theme all throughout the Gospels as well as the Old Testament. It is a constant call, a constant appeal to have relationship with God. Draw near to God. All the other stuff, if you will, was to demonstrate for us how that was made possible. But the simple message of the book of Hebrews and the gospel itself is that you and I can draw near to God. Amen. You were created for relationship. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." That's why, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. All that Jesus went through, all the extent that Jesus went to, was so that I can draw near to God. Here is Jesus. He is with his disciples. These are men that have walked with him for 3 years now. They had been the best of friends. They had left their businesses. They left everything that was familiar to them to be a disciple of Christ. Up until this point, Jesus has been letting them know that there's going to be a time where I'm not going to be with you any longer. He'd been hinting at the fact that he would be handed over and crucified. And it is in the context of that that Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I've told you that I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know the way you are going. How could we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." I mean, Jesus lays it out for them. "Listen, guys, all of this is so that I might gather you together in the end." I mean, think about it. What's this all about? Why the systems? Why the symbols? Why the prophets pointing to the one who is going to come? I mean, why did Christ really come? Why did he willingly take on the form of a servant? Why did he walk our dusty roads and heal our sick and raise our dead? Why did he willingly go to the cross and experience the most brutal of tortures? One reason: so that we can draw near. So that what was lost in the garden might be found at the cross. Man having relationship with Creator, with our Father, who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. What amazing lengths that God went to so that we might draw near. Drawing near is a continual thing. Like our continual need for food and nourishment, we are to continually draw near. Listen, we can't live on yesterday's experience. Too many Christians live on the past nourishment from yesteryear. And they live off their past credentials, if you will. And what the appeal to those who have embraced Christ is, don't just notch it off on your belt as something you have already done, but listen to the urgency of the writer of Hebrews. Listen to the urgency of the Holy Spirit. It is not a one-time deal. It is something that we are to continually do. We are to draw near to God. I talk to Christians all the time. They say, "Well, back in the day, I used to do this. Back in the day, I used to teach Bible studies. Back in the day, I used to teach Sunday school. Back in the day, I used to read my Bible. I used to do this." Well, what about today? Don't comfort yourself in what you used to do. Christianity is meant to be, listen, could you imagine? Unfortunately, it does happen. You know, wife says to the husband, "Honey, do you love me?" "Are you kidding? I married you 15 years ago. Of course I love you." It doesn't cut it, does it? Could you imagine being in any relationship? Any thriving, healthy relationship? Where the other partner is not constantly looking to draw near to you? I mean, how do we get close to somebody? Right? I mean, think about it. Think of the most important person in your life right now, other than God, because we're in church, and I know that's the first one that comes to your mind. But think of the most important person in your life. How do you get close to that person? You talk to them. You spend time with them. You listen to them. You interact with them. You draw near to them. Listen, there is no thriving, healthy relationship. Listen, long-term relationships, even with the joy in the internet, do not work. And what the call for you and I is to draw near, not to a church, not to a system, not to a people, but we are to draw near to God. It ought to be our daily bread, a constant living, breathing pursuit of the lover of our souls who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Don't live on yesterday's blessing. Don't live on yesterday's success story. Don't live on yesterday's testimony. If you don't have something fresh, find out why. Oh, come on, Pastor. You mean to tell me that we should always have a testimony? That'll be always something God's doing in our lives. As I said before, we don't serve a dead God. But God is always grooming us. He's always challenging us. He's always teaching us. And I'm not suggesting we hear the voice out of the sky. God bless you if you do. I'd love that, but that's not my reality. But there ought to always be places where we could look and say, wow, this is God stepped in here. God was leading me in this thing. I had no idea what was going on. What I thought was a bad thing, God turned around for a good thing. As Heather sang so beautifully this morning, sometimes even those things that we would choose not to have, we find are really God's mercy in disguise. And if we will listen, if we will only look, if we will only listen to see how God is speaking to us, I want to tell you this morning, He is speaking to you. He is speaking to you. And it might not and probably won't come as an audible voice out of the heavens. Often God speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us through our circumstances. He speaks to us through our friends. He speaks to you through your pastor. He speaks to you certainly through the Word of God. He speaks to that still small voice in our heart. You know, that feeling like when you know and you know her. You know, what is that? God puts that there. And if you're not getting that, and if that's not your daily bread, then maybe you're not drawing near. Maybe you're not taking advantage of what has been provided for us. The lengths that Jesus went to, the blood that has been shed for us so that we can enjoy the presence of the Lord and draw near. I don't say this to make anybody feel guilty. I want to say this to you this morning so that you would be inspired and encouraged to get past where you were and enter into a new day where you go into the morning and saying, God, what are you going to say to me today? Now, I wouldn't say that out loud because people will think you're weird. But I would go into the day expecting God to teach you something. Expecting God to show you something. God, what is it in my heart that's keeping me from drawing near to you? And if you sincerely ask God, you will see very quickly that in the course of the day, you'll start to realize, you know what, this gets in the way of my walk with God. You see, as we draw near to God, what we have to get rid of is some of self. Let me repeat that. What we need to, if we want to draw near to God, we have to get rid of a lot of self. My desires get exchanged for His desires. My will bows and yields to His will. But you know what? My pain gets left and my purpose gets accepted. It is in the presence of the Lord where joy is experienced. It's in the presence of the Lord where fulfillment is realized. It's in the presence of the Lord where peace becomes our reality, a peace, as Paul says in Philippians, that surpasses our own understanding. It doesn't make sense, is what he's saying. What gives us that calm in a storm? It's the presence of the Lord. And there are too many Christians that are just in coast mode. And you're not enjoying the blessings of God the way God wants you to, the way God isn't provided for you to. And the problem is not on God's side. Have you pursued Him? So, well, what does that look like, Pastor? Well, I don't know, just do a little bit more than you did yesterday. I mean, God's given us we have got His Word, the inspired Word of God. Maybe that looks like just reading a little bit more than it did yesterday. It's disciplining ourselves. It's going to praying a little bit more than we prayed yesterday. Being more sensitive to the culture in which we live and knowing when we need to say no to things. I don't know what it looks like, in your day, in your life, but you know what? The Holy Spirit does a really good job of letting us know what those things are. And the sincere heart, the sincere Christian that would go to God and say, God, just show me what I need to do to grow in my walk. Listen, there's nothing we can do for our salvation. It has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has done it for us. However, if we want to grow in our walk with God, if we want to experience the blessings of God and the relationship and the dynamic that God desires for us to have, listen, we need to do something. We need to crucify our flesh, say no to those things that are contrary to God, and embrace Him. Why? Because it's all about relationship. That's what God desires for us. That ought to be the response of all of us. What is Psalm 91? It says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the psalmist then goes to explaining what that shadow looks like in the rest of that passage, and just the blessings of protection and provision from God. But listen, he that abides in the secret place, what is that? It's a place of intimacy. He that dwells in the secret place, the intimate place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow. Listen, you cannot abide under the shadow of anything that you're not close to, right? The only way you can be under the shadow of something is to be close to it. Too many Christians go, well, I don't feel like I'm getting the blessings of God. I don't feel like I'm under the shadow. Are you close enough to be under the shadow? It's a call to reexamine our lives. And saying, God, am I pursuing you? It's not beating myself up. God's not. Listen, God brought you today, here today, to encourage you, to let you know that what you maybe weren't experiencing yesterday, you can experience today. Because Christ has provided a way for us to do that. David said in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs after you, O God. That ought to be the heart cry of all of us who have been recipients of God's forgiveness. Look with me again at our text. Therefore, brothers, since we have, look, confidence to enter the holy places, why do we have confidence? Because he has done a beautiful job in the early of this chapter to let us know the way in which we can have that confidence was not by our own merits, but by the merit of Jesus Christ. He's provided the way for you and for me. And because it's all been on his work, we can come confidently. Like our children who come running into our room and jump on our lap, feeling with that sense of entitlement. They have confidence that they can come and be in your presence. So we too can come with that same confidence. Since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies, how? By the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. I love the synonym here. What Christ's flesh represented was the curtain that separated man from God. God, man was not able to enter into the presence of Almighty God. But now Jesus' body representing the curtain, probably the writer of Hebrews was referring to the veil that had been torn in two from top to bottom, letting us know that which had at one time was a restriction is now made accessible for us. And we can come boldly with confidence into the presence of Almighty God. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, here it is, let us draw near. How? With a true heart. With a genuine heart. That heart that says, God, I don't have all this figured out. I don't even understand what that guy was talking about completely, but I understand one thing. I need to get closer to you. And I, you know what? I believe with all my heart that if that's all you got out of this whole thing this morning, and you sincerely go to God and say, God, show me how I can draw closer, God will show you. God will show you. Why? Because it's his desire for you. It's his desire for you. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. What a beautiful picture we have of the slate being clean. There's nothing like a second chance. How many times? Nothing like a third chance. Nothing like a fourth chance. I don't know what chance you might be on, but listen, if you still got a pulse and blood pumping through your veins, there's room for another chance this morning. And as you come before him, God cleans the slate for you. Your conscience can be made clean, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I love this. The dependence on this reality is not on your own efforts. It's not on your own abilities, but it's on the faithfulness of God who is able to accomplish that which he's begun in our lives. That's why Paul had such confidence, Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You and I were created for relationship. You and I were created so that we might have that God-shaped hole in our heart filled with God himself. Does that mean you can't relate with the world around you? Of course not. Does that mean that you can't go and have fun? Of course not. Does that mean you have to sell everything? Of course not. It means you enter into a vital and vibrant relationship with the creator of your soul. And it's a new day, with new purpose and new fulfillment and new blessing. Why and how? Because of all that Jesus did. That's what the writer of Hebrews is pointing us to. He's connected a lot of dots. He's drawn a lot of lines. He's laid out a lot of systems. He's connected. He showed us the fulfillment of all those things. And that can be very exciting and invigorating. At the same time, that can be very confusing. And so here's what we need to get out of the whole thing. All of that was done so that we might draw near and have relationship the way God intended us to. What was lost in the garden can be found in the cross. That's what God did for us. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I know your presence is here this morning. And Lord, we're humbled by that. And I know, Lord, that not one of us are here by accident today. And Lord, I know for some this was an encouraging word this morning. For others, it might have been downright convicting. But I pray, Father, that for every one of us here this morning, that we'd not allow the truth of your word to cause us to recoil in fear, but Lord, to springboard out in truth, knowing that the most important work that's necessary was done in the person of Jesus Christ. And all we need to do now is receive it. I pray, Lord, for each person here this morning that is in need of a fresh start. God, I pray that you would meet them where they're at. Lord, that you'd give them faith to believe. That which was bondage yesterday can be freedom today. That which was hurt yesterday can be healing today. That which was controlling yesterday can be freedom today. Lord, I pray that faith would rise up in the hearts of your people here this morning. God, there's not a person here that you don't love. There's not a person here that's beyond the ability to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. Because there's not a person here that your blood cannot cover their sin. And so we look to you this morning. I just encourage you this morning just to take a quiet moment just between you and God. Where are you at in your walk with God this morning? The danger is to talk about something like this and sing a song, say a prayer, and send it out your way. And that word doesn't have the opportunity to fully take root in our hearts. So I want to encourage you this morning to take a moment of pause and say, God, what do I need to hear from this today? Apostle John says, I write these things that you might not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the one who goes before the Father. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You might be here this morning and say, you know what? I need a fresh start. I mean, that wasn't the worst thing in the world yesterday, but I know that I wasn't living what God wanted me to live. Today could be a new day for you. So here's what I want us to do, and we're doing it in faith. I'm not going to ask anybody to come up. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you're here this morning, and again, don't worry about the person to your right or your left, but if you're here this morning, say, you know what? I want a fresh start this morning. I want a fresh start. And I'm not going to draw conclusions on anybody else's walk. I'm just going to worry about me right now. And today, July 24th, 2011, at 12 o'clock, I'm going to have a fresh start today. And I'm going to start drawing near to God. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand with me this morning. And I'm standing on my own as well. Because I want a fresh start. I don't want to live on yesterday's blessings. I don't want to live on yesterday's grace. I don't want to live on yesterday's forgiveness. I want to live on yesterday's blessings. I want to live today. I want a fresh start today. I want to experience God's presence today. Contentment is the most dangerous thing for the Christian. Familiarity with the things of God. We need to guard our hearts against those things, church. Fresh starts, new beginnings, clean slates. We could walk out of here this morning with our sin. We can walk out of here with a fresh start, a clean slate. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Lord, today's a new day. Father, I pray for each person that's standing here this morning. Lord, I stand in the midst of them with that same declaration that, God, I want a fresh start today. Lord, I thank you for what you did yesterday, but I want more. I want more of you. I want to hear your voice clearer. I want to sense your leading clearer. I want it to be easier to say no to myself and yes to you. And today, Lord, I ask for that fresh start for each person here today. Lord, you know all that which is attached to the desires of each person here. We don't need to express them to one another. I pray, Father, that you would give each one the grace and the faith to believe that a fresh start is possible in you. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. Here's what that looks like, folks. Tomorrow, the first thing that's going to come into your mind as you wake up in the morning is everything's the same. A fresh start reminds yourself that says, you know what? Today's a new day. Today I'm gonna get in the Word differently today than I did yesterday. I'm gonna give God more of myself than I did yesterday. I don't know what that looks like. But I believe as we ask the Holy Spirit to show us, He will do that. Because this whole thing called life is all about us drawing near to God. That's it. That's what it's all about. We can get caught up in all the confusing stuff in the scriptures and fail to realize it's all about just drawing near to God, having relationship with Him. Let's all stand together as we go to our closing song.